Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I am your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined by one beautiful, handsome panel. The man on the panel with the hair, because two of them don't have hair, it's Christopher Somani. How are you?
I'm well, Louis. Thanks for pointing out that I've got hair. A bit more upbeat this week because Celtic didn't play at the weekend, which is always a bonus these days.
I'm joined by a man who's bald through choice. It is Barry Gallagher. How are you, Barry?
I think that's been generous. It's kind of half choice, half necessity, but I'm good, thanks. It's a nice feeling this week because we know that the end of the season is coming. It's kind of a feeling of relief. And we're all just hoping for good news to happen as soon as possible. So get through these games and then hopefully we can sort of see a rebirth of Celtic because God knows we all need it.
Hopefully a wee feeling of end of term about it, Barry. That's what I'm that's what I'm hoping for this week. And a man who's bald through no fault of his own is Christopher Bowd. How are you, Bowdy?
Hey, well, I'm good, Louis. I'm good. Maybe when you grow some hair in your balls, you can start talking about people, sir.
Oh,
for the moment, we can just move on.
Aye, I think that's probably a good idea after that. Listen, I'm going to come straight to you, Bowdy. Usually I go to Somani with the first item of the agenda. But we're going to discuss some news. First bit is a bit of news that I know you've done some reading up on. Celtic and Rangers Colt teams are going to be joining the Lowland League or potentially joining the Lowland League for one season only. Is it one season only? Is it forever? Is it a pilot? What's happening, Bowdy?
Well, I read something saying it's a pilot, which is that's the definitive word on it. It's a pilot, gents, which means it's forever.
Good idea for you.
I'm still kind of chewing over this one. I think it's good for the younger guys to get competitive games. we know that there's some value in loaning out players, but overall, is it probably better having our young players developing together in the same team, kind of with the same kind of ethos as the actual Celtic team? I think there probably is a lot of value to that. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a chance it could work out, but I need to do a wee bit more reading up and see what the pros and the cons are, because I'm sure there's lots of people shouting that it's a load of shite. But
yeah, I think most of the reaction I've seen seems quite negative, and I don't know if it's maybe because, you know, if you think of it, in a cynical point of view, maybe the quality's not going to be very good. You've got players who've went to other Premiership teams, which you would probably prefer if you're looking for those players to break through, like Leo Helders at Ross County, and done pretty well, got first team minutes and all that. You've got the Championship, we've got players in the Championship playing. Lowland League seems a very low level. So, Manny, where do you sit with it?
I think it's good that our young players are going to get some level of competitive football, because you definitely miss that. You've pointed out that some players go on loan, and that definitely works out on an individual basis at times for their development. But if you've got like that group dynamic and that kind of team mentality, I don't know how competitive the Lowland League will be, but if there is a level of competitiveness, that will help them to come forward. I could understand if I was a fan of one of the Lowland League clubs that saying this maybe lacks a bit of integrity, but who cares? We're Celtic fans, and if it helps our young players develop, I'm all for it.
Ari?
Yeah, just similar to what the boys have said, I think the benefits of it are you're hoping that if we sort of revolutionise the way that we're going to have the top, the structure at the top down, you would hope that, as Bowd says, we would be playing the same formation in all the sort of teams, so a Colts team playing in the same style as the first team, and then that collective of playing games week in, week out together, building relationships, etc., and just that competitiveness, Mr. Manny says. So, and I don't really know what the crowds are like at that level, but hopefully when things get back to normal, they'll be playing in front of a crowd, which will give it more of an edge rather than just playing games at like Lennox Town, etc. So I think it will do us no harm, and anything, it'll give these boys the chance to play, 30-odd games a season together, so that could be invaluable in the long run.
Yeah, I think it, obviously, we don't know if this is going to be a permanent feature, if it is just going to be for the one season, but I think there's pros and cons to it either way. I think getting these young guys more game time, I think, is important. And proper, you know, competitive games against men as well, which, you know, I know people will say, ah, well, the pitches might be rubbish, or it might be, you know, the style of teams will come against might not be great and things like that. But I think you can look at it on a positive light or a negative light, depending on where you stand on it. Sir Manny, Motherwell have come out today and said that they are giving season ticket holders who obviously have bought a season ticket for this season and have obviously not been able to get to any games, they're going to get a season ticket for free next season, and they're launching a scheme where fans can donate towards season books for the unemployed and poor families. It's great to see a club doing that. Do you wish it was us?
I do wish it was us. I'm hoping that it would be us, but I think realistically it can't be us in terms of our wage bill. It's a great gesture from Motherwell. But when you look at their turnover, I mean, we signed Turnbull from them, and you know, I don't know what their turnover is, but that would have been a significant portion of it, no doubt. If we had 5 million a season, there you go. So that's half their turnover when we signed them from them. So they're going to take a hit. So there is a sacrifice from the club, and that's really commendable. But the idea that we could give free season tickets to those that bought it this season is maybe a wee bit too far to push. I would like the club to adjust their prices, kind of to say, look, you know, thanks for sticking with us last season, especially at full price. You didn't manage to set foot in the stadium. Plus, it was a shit show. But I think
there was something with people who were on an automatic renewal have been charged the same price as last year. But I don't know if that's been, you know, an accidental thing or if that's for real.
I've seen some of that as well, but I think it would be a real gaff if they were going to charge the same as last season and, you know, they weren't telling people that renewals are out. That sounds like something that the system's just done, because normally we know about season ticket renewals just now, but, you know, I stand corrected if that's not the case. But, you know, what we are looking for as a Celtic support is get Eddie Howe announced, because we all know he's going to be the manager. Hey, lads. Get that announced, and then talk about the season ticket renewals, and there probably has to be some sort of halfway house here. There has to be a genuine attempt to say, look, last season was terrible. You didn't manage to get in the ground due to COVID. This season, the season tickets are going to be £200 less or something like that. So it's good that Motherwell are leading the way, because it maybe makes other clubs act similarly. It's just hope that other clubs out with us can perhaps afford to do it, because it is a nice gesture after what fans have been through this last season.
Barry, what do you think as a season ticket holder? What would you think would be realistic that you would accept in terms of a kind of goodwill gesture or discount on your season ticket?
I think there definitely has to be addressed that this season was, as Samana says, terrible. So first and foremost, I'd like something in way of an apology from the club. I think £200, as Samana says, would be nice, but I think of £100 would probably be more realistic, I think. I'd be quite happy with that, providing that there was sort of guarantees that we were trying to rectify all the wrongs of this season. Maybe not rectify them all in 1 year, but definitely an acknowledgement of our standards have dropped so low, and this is a sort of, as you always say, Louis, a sort of a blueprint of how we can fix it. So what the plans are for next season, and then maybe £100 off and a sort of real push to sort of build the bridges between the club and the fans again, because it's probably its most fractured that it's been since 1994, I would say, before the Fergus McCann takeover.
Audi, you probably want to be paid to go to the games, go totally the other way, but is there any other added value that would, you know, tickle you?
No, I think, did Barry just at the end there mention the shares idea that's been put out there by Celtic Shared or whatever? But if that was a route, I think that should be an optional thing, because obviously some people don't want that, don't need that. You know, it's not for them. But I think shares, I think a discount, you could even, and again, I think Celtic fans understand, you know, a decent part of the finances of the club, and losing season ticket money would be a huge deal. So even spread it over a few seasons. You know what? We'll give you, you know, a £200 discount spread over three seasons if you're happy to take that, that kind of thing. There's all sorts they can do.
Yeah, I think they have to do something, especially after promising people added value and then never really delivering on it. You know, there was meant to be, there was a great deal made about the production of Celtic TV and all that. That never really came to fruition very much. So, Manny, you went in?
I can't remember. It was somebody on Twitter, one of these ITK accounts that talk about, they seem to have some sort of link with the board, were saying that the digital programme you get was the added value for your season ticket. I don't know about anybody on this that's got a season ticket. I have not once looked at one of those programmes. No,
me neither. No, just put them straight into the trash in my email box.
Delete.
Straight into the blender. Right, well, we're going to move on to the one and only, Mr. Scott Brown. Christopher Bowd, we'll come back to you since, you know, you love a bit of Brown Town. Scott Brown's last game at Celtic Park tomorrow night. Are you getting emotional? Are you enjoying all the tributes that are pouring in, all the social media coverage, the merchandise? Are you enjoying it?
Absolutely. It's shocking, actually, how disgusted I was at this club. And you know what? Somebody putting together a video edit, I forget the guy's name on Twitter, really should know it, but that fantastic video I'm sure we've all watched.
Adam Lynch, I think, is it?
That's the very one, Adam Lynch. So give that a watch if you haven't. And then the Lustig video earlier today. I'm on board. I'm buying 5 strips next season. It's all happening. If that Brown tracksuit is sold, I am buying it. The one that they're all going to be wearing with the Brown. And come on. It's obviously horrendous the way this season's gone, but it doesn't take away from the legacy that Scott Brown leaves. And I'm kind of glad to see that. I think earlier in the season people were obviously not that happy, but most of the kind of tweets and stuff that you see, I think, have been fairly reasonable and shouting out Scott Brown as the absolute legend that he is. Maybe a sad day.
I must say, I don't know how I feel about it. Like the Lustig tribute was good and all that, but see all the constant tweets and the, you know, captain, leader, legend shite and all that, it's just a bit... It's a bit OTT. I don't know if I'm ready for it all. Barry, am I just being a bitter man?
No, I can see where you're coming from. I'm kind of in the middle with it. I agree with Bowd. I think that video felt quite choked up watching it. And that's because of what he has given to the club and also how sad this season has been. And I'm sure Brown would admit that himself. But trying to, like, the merchandise, and I know Gal mentioned the press conference that they were going to do, just invite us as a token gesture to fawn over Scott Brown. Not for me. And I also think Scott Brown probably wouldn't appreciate all that, being the type of player he is and the type of man he is. So I think that people will pay their respects rightly to him tomorrow. And I think the boys said on the agenda that maybe in 2-3 years we can look back more fondly, but it's just a bit raw for me just now because of how the season's gone. But take nothing away from Brown as an individual. He has been a great servant to the club, but yeah, it's a bit sort of the foreign over him. More the situation than him himself is, it's a wee bit vomit-inducing for me too, Louis.
I think if we already had the news and the plans for next season, I think it'd be different. The whole atmosphere around the club would be different, and I think I would maybe be in more of a position to, you know, be in a better mood to get on board with it all. But it just feels as if they're trying to take us down this road because they don't want us to question what's happening on, and you know, with other aspects of the club. But so Manny, you want to make a tribute to the man?
Yes, Scott. There, that was my tribute. No, I mean, it's everything about it's at the wrong time, but I understand it's the only time you can do it. It's the last home game, so I understand why it's happening, but it's like that cup final after we lost the league to Motherwell in 2005. You know, you turn up, you clap, we picked up the medal, but nobody was interested in it, you know, so... It's like that. You watch it, you watch the tribute, you'll hear Jerry McCullough talk absolute shite about him before the game, and you'll nod your head and you'll look at some of the moments and you'll smile. But yeah, it's a shame that it's not, you know, it should be on a blaze of glory and all that. That's the best way to go out, but it isn't. So it almost feels kind of just, you know, you have to do it, if you will. Do you know what I mean? But if the guys are saying in 2 or 3 years' time, you know, Brown, you know, you'll look back at one point and you'll appreciate, see the last 4 seasons and things like that, you know, with the quadruple treble and all that. See, right now, it doesn't mean very much. But with a bit of space and a bit of time, you'll look back on it. And Scott Brown was a huge part of that.
I'll give you this guarantee, Louis. There will be a series of Scott Brown podcasts in a few years' time coming from The Cynic. That's a guarantee.
I don't know. Maybe things would be different if, you know, if I think if we had 1-10, if this season had gone the way we were hoping it was going to go, I think you would have hundreds of fans turning up tomorrow night outside the ground, maybe even thousands to, you know, wish them all the best and all that. I don't doubt there'll be some there, but I just don't think it's quite the same. But again, it kind of does feel a bit, you know, shite to tarnish everything that he's done just because of this year. But
yeah, but there's nobody thinking, well, there probably will be some people, but the vast majority of the fans are thinking, I'm glad you're going. And that's just because it's his time to go. You know, it's underlined what's happened this season. Thanks, Scott, for your service. Cheers. See you later. That was my tribute.
We'll leave it at that. Well, this week, that's the kind of news out the way. Obviously, there's been no games to discuss, so we've decided to do a mailbag episode this week. So we've got a range of topics to discuss. We're going to start with Eddie Howe, who we again hope will be officially announced as the Celtic manager this week. We obviously brought you the exclusive about 2 months ago that Eddie Howe was going to be the Celtic manager, and we talked about it on the weekly. We'll of course do it again, hopefully next week. But we have got some questions on it. So first up is Ken Walsh. He asks, he said, with so much Howe talk recently and we haven't even signed him yet, what's your thoughts on how badly Celtic, i.e. the board and the ITK idiots / support, will look if he is our number one target and we don't get him? So don't know who wants to come in first. Barry, do you think it will reflect badly if we don't manage to land him now?
Yeah, I think it would. The support are on a knife edge as it is, because of all the reasons we mentioned about this shit show of a season. And it's been, what, I think it was maybe 8 weeks ago, roughly, that the story first came out that it was looking likely that it was going to happen. You've got journalists, well-placed journalists, saying that they're relaxed about the situation. Celtic are, so is Eddie Howe. And if it was to go wrong now, I think that the knock-on effect would be catastrophic. A lot of people are swithering whether to buy season tickets as it is. And it would further delay things, I think. If Howe came out this week and said, no, talks have broken down, I think people would be baying for blood. There'd be people outside the stadium again. There would be people going absolutely mental. I'd be one of them. And I think it's almost at that stage now that anyone now, it sounds crazy to say, because Eddie Howe really is a very good manager with a good reputation. It's not like top level, but I think anyone other than him now is going to be a massive come down for the support. So I hope that Celtic do everything they can, give him the demands that he wants within reason, because I think it'll be one of the biggest backlashes in our history if he is not secured.
So Manny, I think, you know, Barry's right to bring up the fact that how, although I think very highly regarded, obviously, in English football, he's not the top tier of manager, but it does have that feel to it that we've put all our eggs in one basket, doesn't it?
Partly just because we're not really been linked to anybody else. I mean, there's been a couple of token links, if you will, Favre and a few others that, you know, their names just kind of appear. But everything seems to point to the fact that we have put our eggs in one basket. But you also say as well, there's no journalists out there saying we shouldn't have done that, that it's in danger or it's this, that or the next thing. It's a strange one because I think we're filling in the gaps to an extent. And sometimes when we fill the gaps in as fans, it seems to become true. Like we're waiting to see if Bournemouth get promoted. I mean, that sounds reasonable, but we don't know if that's the case. The silence is just, it's just awkward. But I was saying to a pal the day on the phone, see if it all works out, we'll no give a shit. But I wouldn't like to be the board if it does, if it doesn't happen. I mean, because things are just opening up in society just now. The fans have been held back for the stadium for the entire season. See if things don't go well again, you'll no be able to clear us away for the Celtic way.
Bowdy, there was an email put out about from the club, kind of giving, you know, not really giving any detail really, but just saying that they hope to announce a new manager as soon as possible and things like that. Do you think, I'm just trying to think about obviously the timing of things, would you have preferred that he was announced already this week, or, you know, after that last game against them, do you think we should have came out right away and announced them, or do you think it's better to wait? And does it worry you that if we are just going to announce them maybe at the start of next week, that that's just the work starting next week? You surely would hope that some groundwork had been done already.
I would have just liked it, nip it in the bud and have it announced, even if you have to say, look, he's not going to start the role until the 1st of June or whenever it is, because blah, 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 he's got to move, he's got to prepare stuff, whatever he wants to do. But you would hope, assuming, you know, it is serious and they're all comfortable it's going to happen, that Eddie Howe's going to be doing some work in the background on, you know, looking at this team over, figuring out what he's got to use, figuring out who he wants to bring in. That's all going to be speculation on our part. But it's a huge job over the summer. So the sooner the work starts, the better, because waiting till a week before the season starts to bring in seven new first team players and God knows how many squad players isn't the way we want to do it.
I just have a question for you guys, because obviously you had season tickets this year, and obviously I'm sure we're intending always to get your season ticket next year. See, at the point where obviously Lennon was still in, and there was a lot of debate about whether you should keep your season ticket on or whether you know to get back at the club in a way and things like that. What do you think would have had to happen for you to seriously not take your season ticket next year? Or do you think as soon as they got rid of Lennon, no matter when they did, that was you back on board?
Roy Keane.
I was going to say that if Lowell hadn't announced that he was retiring, and if Lennon, so I think that sort of, even though nothing's happened since that, the two of them being out the door kind of gave me more hope that change was coming. Yeah, and it's weird saying that because nothing essentially has happened. I know Don McKay's maybe started early, but I still feel that we're out in the cold. We don't know what the plans are. There's rumours that it's Eddie Howe, all the stuff with Fergal Harkin and the restructuring. And I think it's true what Sir Mary says. It's us that is putting the filling in the gaps with the whole stock exchange thing as well. We could all just be miles off it. But I think personally, what gave me hope was those two supposedly removing themselves from the club. It's still a wait and see. And I think the sort of people were suggesting that when the renewals come out, don't do it straight away, like hold off to the last possible moment. And that's something that I'll be doing. I wouldn't be doing it. Normally I do it as soon as it comes in. I do it just to sort of get the money out of the way.
So, Manny, I know you're kind of joking there about Roy Keane, but if they do announce Roy Keane, you would seriously no go back?
Yeah, a very, very good chance that would be the case, because that would be the lowest common denominator candidate. It's almost like, you know, we'll go for a guy who's got a high profile in the game, used to play for Celtic, was on Sky Sport, all that pish. It would just smack of having no direction or plan. So an appointment like Keane would probably have prompted me not to renew. I mean, the fact is they've teased Eddie Howe, or it's been talked about for the last 8 weeks, and I'm already right back on board and I'm looking to renew. But, you know, I think we all need to be honest. As fans, we're fickle. You know, if it looks as if things might change next season, we'll be back again. See if they take the piss out of us. A lot of us won't.
I'm going to go through a couple of kind of quick questions. So quick answers to them if you can. David Smith asks, do we expect the manager, whoever it turns out to be, to be announced at the same time as a director of football? Do you expect it to be a double announcement, Sir Manny?
Maybe.
Bowd?
No, because obviously it's going to be Eddie Howe announced this week, and then whatever happens with the director of football. But it's you can bet your mortgage on it, Louis. Manager announced this week.
Wow. Exclusive.
Yeah.
Barry?
No, I think it'll be Eddie Howe first. And then director of football maybe later in the month or early in June, but it's all kind of gone quiet on that, as I said. So who knows? But no, I don't think it'll be at the same time.
# don't shoot the messenger.
That's true.
David Gallagher asks, do we think Celtic are letting the Scott Brown show play out this week, and then how on Monday? Do you think they're not announcing them just now because they want to give Scott Brown the limelight, Sir Manny?
No, I think if we announce them early next week, it will be because to overshadow them lifting the trophy. That's what it will be for. I think it's probably respectful to give Scott Brown a bit of space in terms of giving his big farewell tomorrow and then against Hibs on Saturday. But I think the main reason for announcing it, if they announced it on Monday, would be to take them off the back pages and put us on it.
Bowd, this is a question directed at you. Yep. I don't know why it's just you, but I'm sure there's many people that think these sorts of thoughts. David Gallagher also asked, what Celtic player, past or present, would Bowd like to run the teller all over him?
I'll give you one of each. Past, it's probably John Collins. He's handsome, we know that. But I'm also thinking that's a guy that knows, you know, the muscles, the body, the anatomy. You know, he's covering the pectoral regions, all that chat. I don't know about muscles.
You only know about one.
The brain, Louis, the brain.
Yep.
It's got to be Tam Rogic because he's got four hands.
Oh, more Nutella for those four hands. Right, we're going to move on to our next topic, which is the board / Conor McGregor. This is a joke. But anyway, Joe McCready asks, do you think Desmond has decided that he's had enough? And is this a potential reason as to why Eddie Howe hasn't signed yet? Would you be supportive of a new majority shareholder if they came in and spent millions, or is now the time for fans to own the club? Barry, come to you first.
I don't see it with Desmond deciding he's had enough. And I think the sort of McGregor thing was a bit of a non-story. I think it was more a Man United-based question, and he's just sort of thrown us in with it.
I think it's because it's the only other football team he knows of.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no way that this guy gives a shit about his
help. The way I read the tweet, he didn't talk to Dermot Desmond about buying his shares. One of his friends happens to know Dermot Desmond owns Celtic, so mentioned his name. That's the way I read that conversation.
Aye. And no, I don't think that's a reason why Howe hasn't signed yet. I don't know why, and I keep asking myself every day why he hasn't signed yet, but I don't quite think it's that. If a new majority shareholder came in, I'm fickle. See if they were to come in and say, for the next 3 years, the managers get 50 million to spend every summer, I'd go for it. Obviously, I would like more fan involvement at boardroom level. But I think, as Martin Friel always says, there's sort of pitfalls with that as well. So just throw cash at it and get us back on top.
Martin Hutchison says, despite the shit show this season, would you all renew if it meant getting to witness Conor McGregor breaking Gerrard's wee rat face in the touchline? Bowd?
Conor McGregor's an arsehole. Fuck him. I don't want him anywhere near our club. If he wants to buy the club, he can beat me in an open challenge.
Wow.
Well, I agree with that. You're also getting to see breaking Gerrard's face. So.
See, that's what I was coming at it, Barry. Aye.
Yeah. Know your enemies.
Aye. So, Bowd, what if Conor McGregor committed to paying in from his own pocket, not to buy the club? Turn up, do that, say sorry for anything that's upset you in the past, and then we draw a line under the whole situation. Would you be happy with that? I'll try to meet you halfway here, Bowd.
No, he's an arsehole. He can punch Gerard in the face. That's fine. I'm happy with that. But although he's not an old man, so he's probably not going to do that, is he? But nah, fuck him. Waste of space.
Wow, you went very serious with that, Bowd. I don't think that was the intention of the question. But anyway, we're going to move on. So, Manny, I'm going to come to you with this one. We're on the topic of Scott Brown. Ronan Kearney asks, leaving aside the massive disappointment of this season, what's your favourite Scott Brown memory? I'll come to everybody with this.
Probably either the Joey Barton game, where we won 5-1, the Bruni, or the Hapoel Beersheva game, where I thought he had his finest game for Celtic that night. One of those three. I would probably say, performance-wise, the Beersheva game at home, I thought it was outstanding, but it's easy to forget that season when they came back up, when they got promoted for the first time to the top league as a new entity. Thank you. Yeah. They thought they caught us that season. They thought, and Joey Barton was coming in and he was going to boss Scott Brown and stuff like that, and he absolutely owned them that day. So that's maybe the best moment. But I think if we're talking about Scott Brown in a Celtic shirt, you would have to go some distance for him to beat that Beersheva performance.
Bowdy?
So Manny's just named it all, really, hasn't he? The Bruni was incredible, scores against them. Dominating Joey Barton, superb. He's just a fucking boss. Every season, him bossing it.
My favourite moment, which I think is one that Cal McGregor was talking about in an interview, something that they put out on YouTube. But see that moment where I think it was at Ibrox and he stood up on the advertising board? And I think Cal McGregor had said that just kind of turned that game, that one moment. But I just thought, for me, that's up there with as iconic a moment for Scott Brown as the Bruni moment, obviously, which is the biggest. But I just thought that was brilliant. You know what I mean? He just didn't give a fuck. Utter dominance for the guy. Barry, yourself?
A bit of balance as well.
Mine's was, the 3-2 game in March 2018, I think it was, where the ball goes out wide and he gets a bad tackle for Candace, I think it is, but he plays the best pass I think he's ever played in his entire career to Dembele for the, what's the goal with Antom? Just because,
Jesus,
see, so when good. He gets halved and they all cheer.
Yeah,
and the time they look round, the ball's already in the net. I just loved that. And that just showed that not only was he dominating them, but he did have ability as well. And it was a great through ball straight up to Musa. So that kind of summed him up for me. Sometimes he didn't always have the best range of passing, but he certainly could make passes when he wanted to. And it resulted in a goal. And then he just celebrated right at them as well. Didn't even have to move. So yeah, there's loads. I think he had loads of good dominating performances at Ibrox that same game. I think he had the sunglasses on and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, that would be mine.
We're going to move on to the topic of the rebuild for next season. This is a wee bit of a prediction type question as well. But Ryan McEwen asks, everybody has their opinions on the number of players we actually need. Or the number of players we need and the number of positions we need to fill. However, how many players do you reckon we'll actually sign and how many positions will we fill this summer? I suspect we won't. This won't be a one-window job. So, Manny, I mean, the idea of going and signing kind of 10 players, it just seems a bit far-fetched. What do you think's more realistic?
We need 4-5 first-teamers. There's a lot of our key players are going to go, but there'll be some lesser kind of squad players who'll still be there. I think we need at least 4 or 5 to kind of properly have a go again next season. We'd need a goalkeeper hugely. We're probably going to need a striker, and we'll need a central midfielder as a absolute minimum. And I'm talking about top levels, and we'll probably need a centre half. For fuck's sake, no, we need 10, Louis. We need 10.
Yeah, we do. You've not even thought about the wings there.
No,
or the fullbacks.
Yep. Fucking hell. And I think we've got to count left back as a solid position right now, because that's how bad everything else is.
So we can, but the thing is, right, you can't bring in 10 first team players and integrate them into a squad that quickly. So
well, this also goes to a question that Troy has asked as well. How many first team players do you envisage lining up in the first game of the next season? So you're right, you're going to sign players, not necessarily all of them are going to go straight into your starting 11. So give us a number overall and then number in the starting 11 for next season.
10-5.
Bowd? He's doing maths. He's counting his fingers.
4-8.
We're signing 4 players, but we're starting 8. Fucking
hell. Put the other way around. Jesus, Louis. It's not hard.
Barry, can you teach him some maths? I've heard you're good at it.
I think that we will sign 12, and it'll be a mixture of I think it's needed. I think it'll be a mixture of permanent signings, for some for big money, some sort of almost like Paul Telfer type signings, like Strachan made, guys that are out of contract at Bournemouth who can come in and do a job for a season, and then some loans. So I think we'll sign about 12, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's 6. So 12 players and 6 in the starting lineup. But then how many times do you look at the starting lineup on the first day of the season and it's nowhere near that even by October? So I think it'll be a gradual thing, but I think there will be a couple of stopgap signings this season. Just guys, I think they spoke about it on the agenda, guys who come in and know how it works, and then they can sort of spread the message from within to the existing players or the other new players. So it's a massive job, and that's why I think we've been saying it for months. We need to get the ball rolling straight away.
Luca Connell is going to boss it next season.
Yeah, But I think that's the more interesting point is, you know, who out of the kind of fringe players will stay and become a mainstay in the team? Are there any that can? Like you mentioned Luca Connell there. You've got to hope that somebody like Luca Connell could, that Scott Robertson could, that Leo Helder could. I mean, that's surely why we've signed these players. The likes of Afolabi, for example, you know, is he going to be given a chance to kind of prove himself in pre-season? I don't know. It'd be. I think we need to give these guys opportunity, or we might have to give these guys opportunities. Bowdy, another part to Troy's question. Do you realistically think we can win the league next season, given the massive transition and our recent transfer history? Now, I know we're all going to sit here and go, aye, of course we will. But do you think it's realistic to think we just go from signing 12 players, as we're all speculating, to suddenly winning the league?
On the one hand, aye, absolutely, we're going to smash them. It's the start of 10 in a row, pal. But no, you're right. Realistically, it's going to be very, very difficult. And that's also based on, like, I'm saying 8-4. I don't think we need it. I think we need more than that. But is how you're going to get the backing and the money to buy in these players? And then you've got to worry about actually getting the players to gel. It's very, very difficult. I think there's maybe some hope in that whilst we are rebuilding, Rangers might also be in the same boat. They might lose some of their more important players over the summer. So hopefully they become utter dross whilst we are still finding our feet, and it's enough to win us the championship back, which is where it belongs, because we are the dominant force in Scotland. But I am just more and more worried how this season went. I don't have the confidence in the board to support this manager. Assuming it's how, it might also just be some fucking Shannon manager we get in. How might not even fucking happen. In fact, it's all done. It's done. He's getting no money for signings. It's fucked.
You just told us it was Eddie Howe this week.
That was a lie.
Barry?
I think I'll hate myself for saying this, and hopefully I'm massively wrong. I'll be very surprised if we win the league next season, and I hate to be negative, but I think it very, very rarely works when you have to build a whole new team that there's enough of a turnaround to do it, even in our league. I think the last time we had as big a build rebuild as this was Lennon's first full season, so 2010-2011, and we just fell short. But then on the other hand, 97-98, when we stopped at 10, I think we had about 7 or 8 new players, and we managed to do it. But I think it all just comes down to, as Bowes says, if it is how much backing he gets, how much work he's been doing already. There's rumours from all the ITK guys again that there is bids in for players already. So it will need him to work his magic, and it will also need a lot of luck. If it is 6 new players for the first game of the season, you're going to need at least 4 of them to start brilliantly and then just build it piece by piece. But I think we do have to sort of meet in the middle. We have to start really well, and Rangers have to drop off a wee bit to have any chance. So I'd be majorly surprised, but obviously absolutely delighted if we do.
I think we've got to kind of temper our expectations, in the sense that I don't see how we can build a squad to compete over so many tournaments and competitions in the one go and have a sustained run at them all. Like, are we really going to get, you know, make big progress in Europe this season and sustain a title challenge and, you know, get through all the cup competitions? I just kind of don't see it. But and then it comes to your priority. What is your priority? Is it to get that league title back? Is it to make inroads in Europe in one first season, forever the new manager is? I think ultimately it's just got to be the league. Just get a league title back. But we'll see. Martin Friel also chipped in with the rebuild question. He said something similar about how many players do you think we'll sell and how many do you think we'll sign. For a bit of context, he said in the last 3 seasons we've sold 10 players but released 19 on free transfers, latest of which will be Brown. Of these 19 freed players, only 5 would be considered first team regulars: Brown, Lustig, Gordon, Hayes and Yozo. Another 5 were academy players. That leaves 9 signings that have basically been a waste of wages, Scott Allen included in that, which I'm sure will upset Keith. But listen, I'm sure this is something that the Cynic is going to cover, obviously, in various podcasts over the close season and in the next couple of weeks, so we can we'll probably get back to that. Martin Barber asks, how do Celtic change to offer the pathway for players? And the same question I asked a year ago, would Celtic be better served moving to a Brentford model, ditch the academy and recruit the best of the unused, more developed youth from bigger clubs? The pathways thing about the youth football is important. Again, it's been spoken about a bit in recent podcasts. The Celtic Vision covered it as well. So, Manny, how do we try and change the pathway and entice these players to stay and show them that they can make it at Celtic, or the opportunity is there to make it at Celtic?
You need to play them. Now, well, the thing about that at a club like ours is, for the last 10 years, we've not been able to play them because we've been building to the 10. Now, if we'd won the 10, we had a lot of people on here, myself included, saying, let's go in a different direction, let's bring the youth players through, you know. But then you've got people who've already done a 180 in that and saying, no, we need to win the league next season, so you can't be blooding young players. You need to have confidence in them. If you don't have confidence in them, there's no point in signing them. You need a manager who's got that faith, that trust, that ability. I wouldn't even say a gamble, but that, you know, able to take that step forward and say, look, you're young, you're inexperienced, but I know you've got the talent, you need to make the next step up. So how do we do that? We get a manager in who's prepared to take the risk of playing talented young players, but also with players next to them who are going to help them develop and maybe I'll kind of guide them through some rough games. The bottom line is, you've had Frimpong come through, you had Tierney previously, you know, you've only had very, very few young players make the grade. We've seen guys like Connell, we've seen guys like Robertson show some potential and things like that. Here as well, you need to blood them. And even if that doesn't mean starting them right away, that's giving them game time, bringing them on during games, you know, playing them in cup games and things like that as well. Simply put, you need a manager who's prepared to do that. And I'd like to think Howe will do that. That'll be part of his remit because, you know, young players that have left as 16-year-olds, Liam Morrison, whatever, going to Bayern Munich, why did they do that? They think that they can develop better at the youth academies and teams like Man City and Bayern Munich. But at the same time, they're looking at that first team and thinking, I'm not going to get an opportunity there. That's what needs to change.
Yeah, Baudé, on Martin's point about, you know, he's talking about the Brentford model, about, you know, ditching the academy, recruit the best of the unused youth from bigger clubs. He said that it's proved successful for Brentford. He also says, though, as the academy graduate route so ingrained in the club's history, it would never be allowed. I'm probably more inclined to say that. But then if we're not getting as much out of the academy, does the role... I mean, we've all had this romantic idea that, yeah, our team is full of youngsters that have came through the academy. But if realistically that's not happening... Do we change tact with the academy and it's more focused at the very youngest kids and then we more invest in, as he says, unused kind of youth players from other bigger clubs?
I think there's a couple issues with that. Martin's touched on it perfectly there, just about the history and how it's kind of ingrained as part of the club DNA, as people like to say. I think you've also got the fact that we like to talk up how we do work in the community, and if you're getting rid of your younger teams, then that kind of falls away. The other thing I'd say, and I'm no expert, but I think with the Brentford model, I think if you're looking forward into the future over the next few years, I think the danger there is, you know, you look at Man City, they aren't shedding their youngsters at ridiculously cheap prices. They still see that as something they've monetized. They bring in players. They might not be good enough for Man City, but they're willing to then sell them on for, you know, if they buy them for 2 million, they'll sell them for 10 or whatever. And I would imagine that that's the route other welfare clubs are going to start to take. They're going to start realizing at some point that they can't waste hundreds of millions of pounds on, you know, 16-year-olds that are just never going to cut the grade. So whether you maybe look at a wee hybrid between that, but I don't think you can rely on that. I mean, we've seen success with Eddie, which I think would probably fall under that. But then we look at Ncham, that's 4 million that didn't really work out. Obviously next season I will, Eddie Howe will have him purring, but I think you need the academy. I think it is too much of a part of the club, as well as, you know, ultimately, I think the value that we can get from it is there. We've not seen enough players come through from it, but, you know, you look at Tierney. If you want to look at it purely as money, it's 20-odd million, plus whatever else we get from. I don't see that that's a viable option for Celtic.
Barry, Lyle Davidson says, with lots of previous discussions on creating player pathways, how comfortable would the panel be with Leo Helder being the number three centre-back option at the club or getting 20-plus games next season as the replacement for Ayer as the ball-playing defender as part of his development? I suppose, obviously, he's focused on Leo Helder there. I don't know if you've seen much of him yourself, but I suppose it goes for any of these kind of young players. Would you like to see them thrown in and given their chance, therefore maybe not going and buying a player to take that position?
It might be that they get a chance purely because of the numbers that we've already spoken about. These guys could sort of plug the gaps rather than buying an...
That's a danger though, isn't it, though? Because that then becomes a kind of Stephen Welsh scenario.
Aye, and then it sort of lowers the quality of the team. Not necessarily through these own players' fault, but maybe not third centre-back option. Maybe fourth or fifth. Him and Welsh being fourth or fifth. But as Armani says, giving them the odd games, maybe the League Cup, maybe games when you're 3-0 up after 65 minutes. Hopefully we get back to those days next season. And just dropping them in. I think because of the importance of next season, I probably would be less inclined to do it. And I know that's short-sighted, but we need to get back and we need to give ourselves a right fighting chance of winning the league because of the Champions League carrot. Personally, for Helder, and while I think he has been impressive from the little I've seen of him, I think another loan maybe to a sort of higher level, maybe like a Hibs or...
What about the Lowland Leagues?
Well, that's maybe too low, but maybe like a St Johnstone or maybe even an Aberdeen, just to see how he can do with that step up again. But I think maybe this time next season, I think I'd be looking for him to certainly break into the team. Hopefully with the best part of 40 games under his belt for a higher level club than Ross County.
Yeah. David Quinn has sent in a question for me, but Somani, I think the both of us will cover this one because we obviously do the Rat Watch on our very own highly successful award-winning Alas Somani McCaffrey. David says, given the replacements needed for the manager as well as a new keeper and left back, if you had to bring back one of the Rat Pack, which is Rodgers, Tierney or Fraser Foster, who would it be? So would you bring in Rodgers, bring in Tierney or bring in Fraser Foster?
Foster. Tierney's a great fullback, but he's got his injury problems and Fraser Foster wins you games single-handedly. So I'm bringing back Big Fraser. There's no way the Rat ever sets foot in Celtic Park again. You know, he probably will, but if it was up to me, you know, I would have him sent packing with Conor McGregor like Bowd, you know.
I would go with Fraser Foster as well. The least rattiest of the three. I'll go with that. Okay, so we've got some other questions some of them are, you know, a wee bit scattered in terms of topics. So James Stevenson says, if we'd have bought Fraser Foster instead of Barkas and Wanyama was brought in to replace Brown in the summer, as obviously was linked, how much closer do you think we'd have been to Rangers this season, Bowdy?
I still don't think it would have been enough. What was the second? I heard Foster coming in. What did you say?
Wanyama in to replace Brown, because that was heavily linked in the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of a difference that would have made. Foster absolutely would, because, you know, he's such a good keeper. He wins points, and as has been probably on this podcast as well discussed, you know, last season, we might not have got the results. We certainly would have been a League Cup down without Foster, and the league would have been a lot closer. But I just, every player was misfiring this season. The manager was so off it. I don't think that two changes would have made the difference.
I suppose, though, it kind of goes somewhere to that point we were making earlier about players coming in for next season. You know, if you think, right, we need four quality first team additions, I suppose it goes back to how many quality first team, you know, inclusions could we have had this season that would have maybe turned things around? Do you think Fraser Foster and Wanyama were clearly would have been upgrades on what we got? Do you think two players in those key positions would have been enough?
I doubt it would have been enough, and I'm not convinced Wanyama has had that much left in the tank given where he moved to. Forster would have, the league would have been closer. You know, I'm not saying we would have won it, but if you'd got Forster in, you know, some of those, you know, you probably wouldn't have lost the first game at Celtic Park against them, because we created zero. That was the worst performance I've ever seen against them. I say that all the time. But they created nothing either. And the two goals that they scored, for me, Fraser Foster would have saved. So you can start picking out games, goals, that you can look at and go, Foster wouldn't have let them in. And the complexion of the season changes slightly. The league would have been at least closer with just him, if you ask me. Wanyama, I don't know. If we got 75% about what you used to get for Wanyama, it could have made a fairly big difference. But ultimately, it would have been a big ask, given what's happened.
It's one of those as well. I mean, a butterfly beats its wings and all that.
Yeah.
Would Rangers' arse start falling out if they hadn't started to get that lead? Who knows? But I don't think any Celtic fan can look at this season and say, you know, we deserve to win this, or, you know, one or two games different, one or two players different, we would have deserved it. We were miles off.
Barry, Matt McGeoch asks, how would the panel accurately sum up Shane Duffy's stay at Celtic? Shane Duffy, who has now went back to Brighton officially.
can I say it? Fucking shite.
Hey, are you going to use that word? Nah.
Jobby. Just a disaster. And I think some people can say, oh, they said from the beginning it was going to be a disaster. But I think there was a need for a physical presence at the back. We saw it in the Kilmarnock game. Was that the second game of the season where Julian did what Julian does, give away the penalty and was all at sea. But it's one of those ones where I think it was sort of a heart roll in the head decision by whoever made it at Celtic, whether it was Lennon, whether it was Dermot Desmond. But just a disaster from the, well, not from the beginning because he scored in his debut, didn't he? But from very, 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 very early on, he looked very ropey. He didn't look fit for me from the very beginning. And then his confidence was just shot. So I think Alan said it on the agenda. Whenever his name's mentioned again in the future, it'll just instantly make you think of the pain of this season. And that's not to say it was all on him. But I think if you look back when he signed, myself included, we were buzzing. Majority of us were buzzing. Thought we'd got the missing part in the back three. Back when we thought 3-5-2 was the way to go. But a disaster. He'll probably be happy that he got a medal for the Scottish Cup in December. But yeah, just it just shows you that if you don't do proper sort of prep work or due diligence on players, that's what can happen. So yeah, the less said about him, the better.
Yeah, I think it's a shame because, you know, the guy has had his off-field issues and all that, and, you know, that's obviously been really tough for him to deal with, but his performances have been utter shite and terrible. And I really wish it had been different for the guy as well, but, you know, such is life. This season, from a podcasting point of view, has been tough. I mean, doing the reaction podcast after these games, coming on the weekly and trying to, you know, have a discussion about things, it's been tough. We're hoping that from next week, hopefully, obviously, the games will get out of the way this week. I don't think, hopefully, we'll probably talk very much about them next week in the weekly because we'll have so much other interesting news to talk about, but we'll try and be more positive. But yeah, it's been a difficult one. We're going to finish on one last question, which again is kind of looking back at this kind of failure of a season, shall we say. Paul Gibson says, my question simply is, do you believe that this is a minor blip or a fundamental crack in our foundations? He says, personally, I believe that the hunger has left this team and mediocrity has crept in. This wasn't addressed early enough. Comments were made publicly and the mediocrity festered into disillusionment and apathy. Players couldn't get motivated. The arrogance around Dubai, which I believe is the sole reason we lost the league, was very unbecoming of Celtic. Looking across the city, a ragtag team of journeymen have excelled from their mediocre positions and had a lot of good fortune which allowed them to win the league. Their bottle or metal was exposed in both the cups, as was their poor manager. I can't see them kicking on next year. I think their squad will be broken up and sold, and so I am firmly in the blip camp. I think we'll probably fester on this season for a long time to come, and we've spoke about it, obviously, at various points. Is it a blip, or has there been a fundamental crack in things for you, Somani?
I think the comments... Who sent that question in?
Paul.
Just Paul?
Paul Gibson. Sorry, Paul, you Gibson. Want his surname? Do you want his phone number or not?
Aye, Paul. He's a text. Because I want to say, Paul, you're making a mistake there, completely writing them off. You know, that's one of the mistakes that I made, too many of us made in the run up to this season. See, when they started to beat us, see, instead of going, that's not good, we need to address this, we kind of made excuses and kind of went from there. And that's something that I'm certainly not going to do. I mean, you can easily say They're all journeymen, you know, they've got lucky, you know, the stuff that happened with COVID, we imploded. That all played a part, but that what also played a part is the fact that they consistently beat what was put in front of them in Scotland. And there is a chance that they'll lose players next season, but they're still going to be organised. I'm not going to do that again. That, for me, it's that's a level of arrogance that we've had as a support, which comes from absolutely lording it over another team for a decade. But at the same time, you know, let's not fall into that trap again. I don't think it's a crack in our foundation, nor do I think it's a blip. I think it's a wee bit more than that. I think we need to address how we view them and how we view ourselves and kind of address it from there. I don't think it's unfixable. I do think we can win the league next season. I don't share Barry's kind of trepidation about it. But at the same time, I think we need to move away from that, you know, almost kind of expectation level that we have where it's just coming to us and they're nothing and they're shite. They're more than that, but they're not at a level that we can't get past next season. So it's a wee bit, it's not just a blip, it's more than that, but it isn't a crack in our foundation. That's how I would look at it.
I think everything that led to this season, I don't think everything just suddenly happened this season. I think this had been breeding for a while, and I think that is more deep-rooted than just a minor blip. So I think there was clearly mismanagement at all levels that kind of brought us to this point. And that's why I think we all feel so strongly. You know, Barry said it earlier on, he would like an apology. I think we would all like an apology because we've not had one. And you don't just ask for an apology or demand an apology when you've just had a minor blip. So I do think it's deeper rooted than that. And it goes to what our ambitions are as a football club. And hopefully Don McKay is the man that's going to come in and try and realign the support's ambitions with the club's ambitions. I think Paul does make a good point and when he says about their bottle wasn't exposed or wasn't tested. So, Manny, you've said that consistently. You put them under pressure, they're not going to be as good. I think what they've excelled at, although I maybe disagree, I don't think they're journeymen necessarily, but I think that I don't think they're as good individually as what some of our players are as well. But I think as a collective unit, as a team, they have managed to produce well above their individual ability, which is what we've not been able to do because we've not had a manager in the position to get the best out of the squad. So I definitely think that it'll be interesting to see what happens with them as well. I think you know, Paul saying, well, he thinks our squad will be broken up and sold. I think they've already said that they're going to sell some assets. So I think that will be interesting, but we need to get our shit together to have any chance.
And I think he's right in terms of the bottle. I totally agree with him in that. But the problem is they've now got over the line and teams' bottle changes when you start to win things. That was our fault, though. That was our fault. You know, you were talking earlier on about would two players have made a difference. Two players would have made it closer. And see if we'd just kept in their tails. I genuinely think, you know, we would have started to see their kind of, you know, usual form start to kind of shine through. I'm not again saying we would have won it, but it would have put that question there. And you also need to factor in the fact that they never had the Subway loyal on their back, which, you know, they had their captain last season saying we collapse under pressure. And a lot of that was to do with their support. But anyway.
Yeah. Two players might have not made the difference, but one good manager would have certainly delivered a 10, I think. Bowdy, for you, is it a minor blip or a more deep-rooted thing?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, there's quite deep-rooted problems at the club, but we'll all go in and we'll end and go in. Really, that's now's the time to change that. The big question is simply whether we do, but we've ripped out what was a big part of the problem. Now we just need to make sure we plant something that's going to grow into a wonderful future and bloom and fruit and flowers. I don't know.
Barry, save him. What's your thoughts before we get to Alan Titchmarsh again?
I think in terms of sort of measuring whether it is a crack in our foundations or whether it was a minor blip, all depends on what comes immediately after it. So we can right the wrongs of most of this season by what we put in place next season. And in some ways I don't want it to be thought of as a minor blip. Obviously I'd love us to come back and batter them, but we can never let go of how this season's made us feel. And we need to still hold the people accountable for that. So that's, like, as you said, I would like an apology. And I would also like to see genuine change. So I think it's just a kind of wait and see for this question. Obviously, if we do come roaring back, win the league, get into the Champions League the following season on the back of it, then we can say that it was a blip, but we need to take this as a lesson. As Samari says, we let them have this. It was almost as if Rangers had a procession to the title because we made all the mistakes that allowed them to capitalise. So we need to put the wrongs right and rebuild, I guess we've been saying all season.
Absolutely, and let's hope that rebuild starts hopefully this week, if not...
Guaranteed, Louis.
Guaranteed, back in the helicopter. Let's hope that it happens before the Cynic Weekly episode next week and we'll have a bit more to talk about, and hopefully we can start getting positive about next season. Listen, this has been a pleasure as always. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions for this mailbag episode. Christopher Samani, pleasure as always.
Yeah, Louis, enjoyed that. Like a wee mailbag episode. Hopefully next week it'll be a howitzer of a weekly.
Lovely, lovely bout. I'm going to come to you last, so you better have it with something. Barry, thanks for being here.
No, always a pleasure to be on the weekly, and just give us some good news sooner rather than later.
Barry, first weekly episode of the new season. Can we count you in?
Of course, I'll be there.
Yelled it. Bowdy, come on, give us a pun.
I don't know, maybe we can have a big bow how about this later on next week. If you want.
Oh.
Hail,
hail. Hail, hail. Go to catchphrase. If in doubt, go to catchphrase. Right, this has been great as always. As I say, hopefully next week we'll be back, hopefully with some good news. So it's not your last weekly of the season, but good luck to Scott Brown, his last home game tomorrow night, and let's just get these last two games out of the way. This has been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.